This is Church Tech Profiles, the new version, episode 1 for the week of July 4th, 2020. Well, welcome everybody to this relaunch of Church Tech Profiles. I am Van Mechke, your host and ringleader in all this craziness that is about to happen. This podcast, if you didn't know, if this is the first time you've ever listened to a Church Tech Profiles podcast, was something that came out of Church Tech Weekly, which if you didn't know, just go to churchtecharts.org and you can see a gazillion episodes there. And that podcast went on for 10 years. In fact, we just recorded the last episode of that a couple weeks ago. And this podcast kind of came out of that. My heart for this podcast was that we would be able to do some long form interviews of the people that were kind of cruising through Church Tech Weekly. And we did a lot of them. We did just a ton of interviews. And so those were awesome. I may repost those at some point in time, but I don't believe they're even out on the interwebs anymore. Because I know that server was taken offline, and I don't actually think they're anywhere. They may be, and this may be very confusing to have Church Tech Profiles episode 1 and there to be another Church Tech Profiles episode 1 out there somewhere. I don't even know, but we'll figure all that out. Anyway, this is the new Church Tech Profiles. The episode that I'm going to let you hear is Jonathan Vasquez. He is the production manager of Church on the Move in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This was recorded before the pandemic started. And so a lot of what you're going to hear, there's not going to be any references to any of that, to any of the things that have happened in the last 4 or 5 months, basically because it was recorded before any of this stuff started. So just to give you a little bit of that context. And I just wanted to say this, the reason that I'm going to post this one, and then I have one more that I'm going to post that was recorded before the pandemic started. The reason that I'm posting these is not because I just don't want to do another one, but because I still think that this stuff is relevant. You're going to get to hear Jonathan's heart. If you don't know who Jonathan is, Jonathan took over for Andrew Stone at Church on the Move after Andrew passed last year. In fact, it's actually just been 1 year almost to the date this week when Andrew passed. Jonathan was his protege. He was training him up. He had hired him. And Jonathan has done a fantastic and a phenomenal job in this last year navigating all the stuff that's gone on at Church on the Move and obviously taking over for someone that made a huge impact, not only at Church on the Move, but the entire church tech community. And was his mentor and his friend. So I want to play this because Jonathan is such a great guy and such a great leader. And even though this was recorded before the pandemic started, I just think that the information is still relevant. There's still a lot of great content here. So I didn't want this interview to go to waste because we never ended up posting these because I was going to start this podcast right as the pandemic started. And then we kind of just put everything on hold for a while. No big surprise to any of you who are listening to this. If you're involved in the church tech world, you have had nothing but craziness for the last 4 or 5 months. And so you understand. Anyway, if you have questions, comments, if you want to suggest someone to be interviewed, or you are a church technical director, producer, lighting director, whatever, hit me up at van@thesoundbooth.com. That's van@thesoundbooth.com. And I'll put these notes in the show notes, which you can get at thesoundbooth.com. And just look for this episode on that page on thesoundbooth.com, and all this information will be in there. So without further ado, here is episode 1 of the new Church Tech Profiles. This is Jonathan Vasquez of Church on the Move in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And again, remember, this was recorded before the pandemic. So there may be some weird context here to where you're going to go, well, why aren't they talking about the stuff that's happening right now? Well, because none of that had happened when I recorded this. So it may seem a tiny bit out of place, but the content is very good. Look for one of these episodes every week every couple of weeks. I'm not exactly sure when I'm going to do these things. I'm going to try to get as many of these done as possible and be as consistent as possible. Probably right now, these are going to be every other week. And one of the things that I really want to do is my probably every three or four of these, one of my big things is to have a roundtable discussion, a little bit akin to Church Tech Profiles, where we just grab two or three people and we throw them on and we have a roundtable discussion. We also might post on Church Tech Profiles. We also might post some of the recordings that I did as the pandemic has gone through with churches and leaders in the church community that I actually did for the YouTube page. And I may just take the audio from those and throw them up because I know that a lot of people didn't see those. A lot of people aren't going to sit and listen to a hour long discussion on YouTube, but in podcast form, you know, you may do that. So that is something that I may put up. If you have any questions, comments, people you'd like to hear interviewed, any of that stuff, just hit me up at van@thesoundbooth.com or leave a comment over on the soundbooth.com page, and I will read every single one of them. You can hit me up on social media. I promise you I'll read all of them, and we'll try to get to those. So without further ado, thank you for indulging this rant at the beginning. Here is my interview pre-COVID with Jonathan Vasquez of Church on the Move in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I wanted to kick this off by having this young man as my first guest. And for some crazy reason, he has said that he would do it. I do not know why. But Jonathan Vasquez from Church on the Move, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me, man.
Absolutely.
I don't know why I said yes either. We'll find out in a little bit.
Well, we will. We will. So we're going to kind of, if you don't know Jonathan, we're going to kind of unpack his story. Jonathan, you are the production manager of Church on the Move in Tulsa, Oklahoma, right?
Correct. Yeah.
And so how long have you been in this position?
So in this position, I've been here for 7 months.
Wow. Okay, cool. Awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about, for those, I mean, who have been under a rock, and certainly anybody who listens to this or watches this podcast that would watch it because they know me, certainly would know Church on the Move. But just pretend they don't know who Church on the Move is and give us a little overview of Church on the Move.
Yeah. So Church on the Move was founded by Willie George. He did Gospel Bill. We've had camps, tons of just different entities as far as with children. He did tons of things. Over the last 3 years, he's handed the church off to his son. That's now the lead pastor, Whit George. And he was the creative arts director. All the crazy things that you may have seen with Seeds, celebrate Christmases, people flying in the air, all those things Whit was a big part of. The church has been going on for, I think, over 33 years now, or this year might be 33, but we're going strong. We have 4 locations now, and we keep growing.
Well, that's cool. That's and if you've never been to a Seeds conference, hopefully someday you guys will do Seeds conferences again, and it would be awesome. You never know, right?
The topic has flown around, so with Church on the Move, anything is possible.
Seeds conferences were always great. Been to many of them, and they're always great for creatives and tech people alike. In beautiful Tulsa, Oklahoma, you wouldn't even think to go to Tulsa. And anyway, so tell me a little bit about what your specific duties are at Church on the Move.
So my duties as of the last 7 months has been to help the churches that are being launched or are running right now, making sure that the technical leaders have the technical skills, abilities to lead their teams and make sure that they're running. As of right now, we have 2 locations that move in and out, and they're pretty large venues. And then we have one that we just launched 3 weeks ago that is small and completely different than what we do here at Church on the Move. We're usually big and grand with LED walls, PA, putting carpet down in venues to make it sound good. And this venue that we just started is a very small, low-key church. That's just a bunch of young adults that want to meet and get some community in their lives, and it's been growing. We started 3 weeks ago at 200 people, and since then we've grown to about 230. But those are the responsibilities as far as audio, video, and lighting, just making sure that the teams are progressing, making sure that we're moving forward, that systems are being replaced as needed. We've had our system in our central location for over 12 years now. So with that, there's a lot of repairs, figuring out what are we going to do for the next 5 to 10 years to make things functional. So there's a lot of just moving pieces and parts, but it's just making sure that I allow the team that is way better at their areas than I am, giving them the free will and making sure that they have the backing that they do to do what they do best.
And now you also mix in the main room on the main campus most weekends, right?
Correct. Between me and my audio engineer, I typically will run the first two services, get rehearsals dialed in, and then he'll run it for me or vice versa. But yeah, I am also the mix engineer for those locations and the other locations as needed.
Cool. Well, that's probably
that's probably the better part of the job, that those 10 hours that I get to do that during the week, and then the rest is fun, but just not as fun.
I think that a lot of tech directors, production managers start out, I've noticed, especially in churches, they start out as the audio engineer. Yeah. That's certainly how I started out. You know, I was audio engineer for 5 years before I really started getting into the management of, you know, being an assistant TD or tech director. So it's, you know, you always kind of come back to your roots. I still have more fun mixing than anything else that I do, you know?
Yeah.
How long in total have you been at Church on the Move?
Church on the Move. Let's see. I just had my 8-year anniversary in September, so I'm working on 9.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Not just how did you get started at Church on the Move, but how did you get started in tech? I mean, what's kind of been your journey?
So I'm going to have to go way back to when I was 8. It's a weird story, but it all leads up to this. I was a big mama's boy, did not want to go to children's church, did not want to have any part in that. One day, my mom was like, "That's it, you're going to church. That's it." Started going. So we, that afternoon, it was the final day. We're going to go do this. Went to children's church. On the way in, tried to get out of it, threw up in the parking lot. Thought that was a great idea. So now I'm red-faced, crying, want to go back, and I got to go in smelling like barf. Nice. Yeah, smooth move.
Always way to make a good impression.
Yeah, it's great. And her being a loving mother was like, "You're going to children's church? I'll see you later." So finally went into children's church, and this guy, which is still a dear friend to me, he saw a boy, smelled like barf, crying, and he put his arm around me and was like, "Hey, you're going to come with me." And that was the starting point to the tech world. He was the children's pastor, but also was the production director for the church. And from that moment on, he started teaching me how to run a beautiful passport. Then I moved up to a Mackie console, and it just kept going from there. So in total, I've been in production for almost, I would guess, 16 years now.
Well, I love what you said, though, that because, you know, so many people start on digital consoles, but don't you find you're a better engineer because you started like on just like a, you know, just an analog console?
There's some guys that get mad at me because I'll just set up a queue. I'll make a couple of queues and I'll just mix the thing because I don't know. There's a thing about it not being so automated, mm-hmm. but having that atmosphere of feeling to it.
Yeah.
Knowing that, oh, this crowd is 1,000 people less. Well, I'm going to mix it a little differently. And being able to have that journey still with mixing that console, but just in a different atmosphere because there's less people. Maybe the energy is not as big, so I'm not going to overpower them. But yeah, I still mix in a way of analog. But yeah, so I started off doing that and took over their youth facility and redid a bunch of that stuff, was leading that team. And that was in Albuquerque, New Mexico at their church. Did that for years. And then after that, found out there was an internship at Church on the Move. And once I found out that, I was like, I don't know. I don't really want to move out of state. Of course, high schooler, just going to graduate here in a couple of months. I'm like, that's a big move. Moving out of state, signed up, got accepted, and did not plan to live in Tulsa for 8 years. And lo and behold, humidity grabbed a hold of me and kept me here. And yeah, so it's been a fun experience, a lot of ups and downs in the last 8 years here, but it's been a total blessing.
So when did you actually come on staff?
I came on staff. I started as an intern in 2011. 2012, I became an apprentice, and then I was full-time on staff in 2013. Cool. In 2013, that's when they started their the Church on the Move South location now, which has been going for 7 years now. And they thought it was a great idea to put me as the audio engineer, and did that. Didn't suck as much. So they put me as the technical director within the year. That venue when we started was a 53-foot semi that would load in 3:30 in the morning, unload, carpet being put in a ballroom, a full living organized machine that would happen every Sunday at 3:30 and be out at 3:30 in the afternoon. It was a great immersing experience to the production realm.
Yeah. Yeah, because that campus, that's the Glenpool campus, right?
Correct. Yeah, it's on Glenpool, Oklahoma.
Yeah, that campus is really building a church.
Yeah.
Way overkill as most portable churches go. But if you folks know anything about Church on the Move, it seems totally right that's exactly how you would do it.
Yeah.
Commitment to excellence is pretty high at Church on the Move, so it seems right. Well, so, you know, as many people know, and some people don't know, our good friend Andrew Stone, of course, was your boss at Church on the Move, and he was the production manager, front house engineer, technical architect of Church on the Move however many years he was there, many, many years. As of this podcast, we were just talking about this earlier. So about, as of this podcast, he passed away about 7 months ago, ish. So you woke up one day, of course his death was very sudden. I don't want to totally dwell on it, 'cause you know, we were all friends with Andrew, and it is a bummer for all of us. You know, you basically, it was a shock. You never, especially guys like Andrew, you just think, you know,
they're going to live forever.
That are bigger than life. They're going to live forever, you know, whatever, you know. You were with him every day. Guys like me and other guys, I literally had just had a long texting conversation with him literally the night before. And so you just don't think that's going to happen, that anything's going to happen to your friends like that. And so you wake up the next day and the shock of everything, you go through the whole, you know, the memorial service and all that kind of stuff. Boom, you've got to do the weekend. You've got to do the weekend. You've got to start back into a routine, and now you're the guy.
Yeah.
So what was that like? What was that like being like, now I'm the guy? You know, even though you were basically the assistant tech director. You were with Andrew all the time. I will probably, you know, make you feel very awkward right now, but I will tell you that he told me many times that he was like, you were the guy, he was pouring into you. You were the, folks know me. I had a tech director, who's the tech director of a church out here, Water of Life. Now name is Marvin Sensen. Andrew knew how close I was to Marvin and how much I loved him being my ATD and all this stuff. And he would always tell me, he said, Jonathan is my Marvin. 'Cause he knew Marvin, 'cause he had done shows with Marvin, what's the organization that the church, your church belongs to?
ARC.
So yeah. He had done several shows with Marvin because the church that Marvin was at the time did did the conferences there this here in Southern California. So he had met Marvin multiple times and done some shows with him. And he had told he always told me, he said, Jonathan is my Marvin. And while that may not mean a lot to many people, it meant a lot to me because I know exactly what that means. So he poured a lot into you. He loved you. I know that tons of people have probably told you that, but I will just be one more that tells you that he did care about you and he knew you had what it took to do what you're doing now. He already saw that you would be doing this, even though you didn't see it. So,
yeah.
But enough of that. What was it? So kind of tell me what's your journey been in this last, 7 months, if you can even, articulate it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for all that, for the kind words. It's even when I hear it, I've heard it now a couple of times, but it's even just, it's still the question of like, why would you choose me? It still kind of rings in your head. Because I mean, if you guys know Andrew, he was a legend, a rock star. He, in the church world, he was the person that pushed a lot of people to make their church experiences better for their pastors and their worship leaders. So you just look back and you're like, I'm a 26-year-old kid that's from Albuquerque, has been doing this professionally for 9 to 10 years, and I'm now leading a group of people from the ages of 22 to in their 60s that have more experience than me, but all have the same passion that I do. So it was a weird experience transitioning to that point. It kind of felt that day that everything kind of occurred. It was the best way I could experience it or say it is, having the president pass away and it goes into the vice president's hands immediately, because as soon as we found out, it was like, well, the weekend's coming. There's tons of things that still need to be done. Of course, we all know church doesn't stop for anything. If you're sick, anything, even to this magnitude. So immediately it was like, okay, let's just end the day. We'll start up the next morning, gave the team off. But it was still, all right, Jonathan, you got to figure out where are all the puzzle pieces that you don't know about. Figuring out, you can't go and ask the person for, hey, what's actually happening? That was probably the hardest thing in the transition, was finding out, well, how does this work? How does that work? I don't know how you are running certain things, and just kind of making your own way and kind of knocking over some trees in the process, just being that the bull in the china shop, trying to figure out what needs to go next. But just that transition point was honestly the hardest, easiest thing. The hardest part about it was knowing that you were taking over for not just your boss, but a mentor and a friend that you've had for years, almost like a brother. And so you're dealing with just your emotions on the whole side of things. But it was so easy because I will say the Holy Spirit definitely was on this team that whole period of time. When Andrew passed away, it was in July, and July was about to be the month of craziness. We had, we had weekend services. We were also going into our vision weekend for the church, so we had to do a set change. We had we sold our camp last year, so we had kids camp and youth conference, a couple of all-nighters happening in that same month at the end. So it was just, you were immersed into, what is this position? And what do you have to do to make all these things function? And how does this team work under this stress level? But doing that, it just all fell into place. Just letting the team do what they do, knowing that they're good at what they do and they're here for that purpose. It was an experience that you can only feel going through it. It was a difficult season for sure. Many tears were shed, many arguments for sure. But it was just, nobody gave me the reins right away. It was just, I'm taking this and I'm just going to run with it and go. And the staff here at Church on the Move has backed me 100%. My boss, Greg Scott, and Whit George have totally been behind me the whole way. Whatever I need, they're right there for me.
Well, and I think it's a credit to... I think it's a credit to Andrew, mm-hmm. too, that, you guys were seen as, and I being there as many times as I've been there, he had developed kind of a machine.
Yeah.
So things ran.
Definitely.
And things were clear and your objectives were clear and all that stuff. So it wasn't like you woke up one day and no one had any idea what was expected of them.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's totally right. Of course, in the moments of chaos, that's when your habits pop back in. And our habits of course, people have heard this from Andrew. Details are what take us from good to great. And the excellence level that we've had, that just popped in immediately with all the multiple different events that we were having to deal with, just the flow of the regular weekly rhythms. So Andrew prepared us for it. It was like being in basic training. You're right. Trained for all that stuff. And then when it actually comes down to it, you know what to do.
Well, and when I was out at the memorial service, I talked to so many folks that were, some of them are still on staff there. Some of them are not on staff there anymore, but were on staff at the time. And it was just like, you know, without knowing it, Andrew was preparing all of you for this very moment over the last 5 years, 10 years or whatever. And so it's a testament to him that, you know, there wasn't, you know, even though it was a huge loss, there wasn't a moment of like, there wasn't a train wreck that happened. You know, there wasn't a car crash that happened. You know, things kept going. If a first time visitor walked in that weekend, wouldn't have known that this tragedy had happened. And that's a testament, you know, to Andrew, you know, and to his leadership.
Yeah.
He picked good people and he poured into you guys and, I remember sitting at the memorial service thinking, you know, this sounds great. It looks good. It's like Andrew's, Andrew's here running his own service, you know?
Yeah.
Other than the fact that there was some stuff that, there was some, there was a few moments where he would have not wanted those moments to happen if he had control. I mean, and they were planned. They were planned moments, right?
I mean, the whole memorial service, he would have probably killed us all for
because
he specifically told me, if anything ever happens, we don't want any of that. Put me wherever you want.
I guess he had told Witt that the one thing they would never do in that auditorium would be a funeral or a memorial service. He would not do it. He would not allow it. And so, cause Witt, that's when I was talking to Witt before the memorial service started, I had happened to catch him in the hallway and that actually came up and how he was kind of cracking up because he was like, I'm doing this in spite of one of my best friends in the world. I know that he would be hating this right now and that he's probably up in heaven cursing my name watching this go down.
Exactly.
But all of us who were friends with Andrew kind of got in an odd way. That's actually, I don't know. It's actually joyous to know that happened anyway.
Exactly. No, so, if you knew Andrew, if you could be spiteful to him in any way, that was your love language to say, hey, I love you.
Absolutely.
Very odd way of doing it, but it was that way. No, definitely after, I mean, it's weird, like having to plan your best friend's boss's funeral and just working alongside that and then doing weekend services. Yeah. There has not been a ball dropped in any of our services since that time. It's if you asked a normal person to today, they would probably say, oh, I haven't heard a change in anything. There might be some tonalities changing, but for the most part, nobody in our congregation could even tell that it's been the honor guard has changed over to another person. The team has been running smoothly. It's been definitely, and credit to Andrew, credit to God for giving us the peace to at least get us through that season and keep working together as a team, even becoming more of a tight knit team than usually some of these things they can pull people apart. but we've definitely become closer. We're more of a family. Even our lead pastor, he said, like, the production team isn't just a group of people that work together and work 9 to 5. We're a family that celebrates our good seasons, our bad seasons, and we're going to go out and eat after work.
Yeah. Well, so on that note, we were talking a little bit before we started the recording, and we were talking about, yes, there was all that and getting your sea legs and your whole team having to figure out what was going on and Whit having to figure out, officially the baton was going to get passed to, and was there going to be a whole reworking of your organization and all that stuff. Yeah. But also, your real rite of passage as a production person is Christmas.
Yes.
And, if you're watching this video or listening to this podcast and you've never watched a Church on the Move Christmas production, I invite you to go back many years. They're all on YouTube. You can
YouTube, Vimeo,
can go watch them. Some of them have been crazy. I like always amazingly good. One of my favorite, some of my favorite productions are Church on the Move productions of all time. And I'm talking not just in church, just in general. And, I would actually invite you to watch them on Vimeo or wherever, because the cool thing about it is, and I always told Andrew this, I said, Church on the Move, now other churches have gotten way better at this because of Church on the Move and what I'm going to say. Because I remember a time when I was a TD and I would watch Church on the Move services and listen to the mix and everything like that. And, it was really funny because Church on the Move was one of the few churches. And I always told Andrew this, I said, it's one of the few churches that I've listened to the podcast or listened to the services online. And then the first time I came here, came to Church on the Move, it sounded and looked in the auditorium like it did on the podcast, on the video, which is not the case with most churches at all. And I said, it's one of the few churches I've ever walked into. And I was like, okay, yeah, it was like 20 times louder, but it was, and I mean that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. But it was exactly how I pictured it and how it sounded. The mix was virtually the same. It sounded great. It looked great. And of course, Church on the Move has been one of the catalysts for, it became kind of the bar of how church video should be, of services. I think, Church on the Move has been very influential with churches across denominational lines. Does not matter. Style does not matter. Any of that, but just the quality of how the services look on video, sound on video, that's all, definitely been, Andrew was a huge part of that, of making that better, you know? So you get to Christmas this last year, and what's the decision-making paradigm of how, because we were talking before and you said it was like one of the craziest Christmases the church had ever done.
Yeah.
What was the decision-making parameters and how did all that happen and, what was it like?
Yeah. So along with my position changing, Whit George was the creative director for many years, and he was the guy that drove the creativity for our services. He brought in another person. He's been on staff with us for a while. One of the smartest, talented guys that I know, and he basically could probably work for Disney or Pixar because he is so creative in what he does. This is a guy that can fit himself into a washing machine, a candy machine. He's done all this stuff for Kids on the Move. And so me and him were partnered up to make this Christmas happen. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, how does this even work? I've been a part of Christmases. I put them together, but we've never done a big Christmas show like we did this past year in probably 3 or 4 years. And it's just like, okay, so how are we going to put this thing together? In the meantime, between July and November, there was some transition with just team members finding their next steps in life, where they're needing to go. So it's like, the guys that really knew how all this stuff rolled weren't here anymore. of course, they were Daniel Canal. All these guys have been a great help to us. They're a phone call away from me to, hey, I don't know how to do this, questions. But yeah, the decision, it was basically just put in our laps to start making these calls. How are we going to make this look great, be awesome, and be what Church on the Move has always done? Excellent quality, but more of a family vibe. The one thing in the Christmas path and our Christmas in the previous years, they haven't been really geared to like children. So we were trying to wrangle that idea. So we had snowball fights in our auditorium with fake snowballs. Some of them were yellow. We don't know how they got yellow snowballs in the mix. Some of them had coffee. So it was just a fun time for the family. Something crazy we've never even done. Rap shows, puppet shows on stage. So it was a big grand show that we had to pull off. But it was awesome just working with the creative team. Andrew Dale, he was amazing at what he did. But just making sure like his dreams came true. One thing in production that has always been was just Andrew and his demeanor. He always took charge and took the lead. So it was figuring out, okay, how do I do that, but in my style, in the way I do things, in the way I think. But yeah, the decision-making process was amazing. That's all I can really say. I mean, it was a great Christmas. Brian Landry, he designed our whole set. He's the lighting director here at Church on the Move. He designed our whole set with Daniel Canal Productions. And the rig was probably the best thing we've had in a while. We did LEDs on the LED risers in front of it to imitate snow falling. We did a slanted LED wall. And I did something that Andrew could never have done, but I didn't ask permission, so this was even better. We did a... Whit George, he walks in the room and he's like, those risers are really tall. I said, yeah, they're about 4 feet. He's like, yeah, I would never let Andrew do that. He just shook his head, but he goes, it actually looks really good. I should have listened to him.
Yeah.
So there was a couple of things that we hadn't done before, but it was a very fun experience. Definitely. I'm not going to say it was easy. It was extremely hard. It was just hard. Of course, it's Christmas at a church. It's not going to be an easy thing, but the week of it just hit me because that was Andrew's go time. Yep. Was to make it all sound amazing, put in the hard work, you guys, let's keep going. During the load in week, like we would be done at like 2 a.m. and Andrew wanted to sit around in the office and talk about these old road stories. And we would all be sitting in here like, I just want to go home. You want me back here at 9 and now we're leaving at 3 a.m. Like, and just reminiscing about all those things, sitting in the office and just like on the couch that I would, and just hearing his voice going, oh my gosh, we're going to try to do this.
Yeah.
Or listen, reminiscing about those old road stories and just having that piece of like, oh, I'm glad we lived in the moment at that time and had that opportunity to do that, so we could actually have that memory that still goes even down to the a Charlie Brown Christmas tree in the booth. He always had that up. Yep. And we did it again. We bought one and put one up for him.
Well, and he'd be saying that you guys were a bunch of, you know, pansies for you know, not being able to work on 4 hours of sleep. Come on, what's the deal with that, right?
Oh, exactly. He would probably go, well, I didn't sleep at all last night, so I don't know what your problem is.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And I'm, yeah. No, that was just Andrew.
Yep.
He was the feisty one that if he could do it, you could totally do it.
Right.
Yeah. And he pushed you in that way.
Well, and I think that's, you know, something that you'll be, you know, doing yourself now that you're the guy, is that, you know, you have to, the best leaders are the leaders that, they never expect out of their people any more than they're willing to do.
Yeah.
You know, and you were trained by one of the best that believed that. And he was willing to be there, do whatever he had to do to make it happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so those are good lessons to have. The worst leaders are the ones that aren't willing to, you know, do whatever it took, you know, I tell people all the time, I said, the tech director, Ken Robertson, that I worked for 10 years at Saddleback Mariners, if he had to vacuum, he'd pull the vacuum out, vacuum.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't care.
Yeah. That's the one thing I tell my team is now, because sometimes they're like, why are you in here in my shop? Chico Torres, he's the fabrication guy for Church on the Move for production. And he's one of the best. I mean, he can make, if you draw it on a napkin.
I actually think he is the best.
Yeah.
I would say he's probably the best.
I told him today I was going to start making t-shirts and selling them off to people. Calling it the Chicasso and with his face on it. I was like, I'm going to go make myself money if you don't want to do it. But no, he is. He can draw. If you draw a junky drawing on a napkin, he will build it and make it 10 times better than you thought. But like just joining in with the team and helping them, even in this season of like, shoot, I am not too good to go into their shop and go nail down a couple of things, go paint some poles. And it also builds that camaraderie. Like I'm not too high on a throne to come down and help. Like I am willing to jump in and help, even though they yell at me when I'm driving a forklift and they're like, get out of the forklift, get out of the lift. Why are you driving this?
That's hilarious.
But it's also knowing like your team, what they do, how long it takes. That's been the biggest takeaways for me, is just knowing being with them is actually helping me in the long run know, well, if I ask for this, it actually takes this much time. This is how much detail they're putting in. So it's a good learning experience.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you really are blessed with a great team, you know, I mean, and I think you guys are continually being a church that's giving. You know, one of the things that's always blown me away about Church on the Move is just the ability that you guys always have. And this came from Andrew, but it was so many other people of just giving it away. You know, Whit was huge with that, just giving it away. And just being, just really super gracious with everything, you know, with resources and with advice and, all that stuff. I mean, even up to, at Andrew's memorial, Chico and I had a 45 minute conversation about welding beads because I'm a hack welder, and every time I talk to him I'm like, I'm getting a little bit better, and he's like, oh yeah, you should do this, and you know, whatever, and so you know, just any even stuff like that is just totally cool. So you guys and I know that you're going to continue in that spirit that Andrew kind of put along. So what's next on the agenda? What's the next things? You got Easter coming up. What's happening?
So right now we're getting the Midtown Church that just launched 3 weeks ago. They're moving buildings because they've grown. So figuring out what does that mean for production? What does it mean for installations? All those things. Some of our churches, new year means everyone wants to change a little bit of their set design. We just got done with our Broken Arrow Church, just splitting some walls up, maybe even doing some IMAG here in the future for them, because that church is just booming. They started a year ago and they're almost at, I think, 1,200 a week.
Wow.
In that auditorium. So they're just growing. Same thing with our South Church. They just, they're starting to boom. We just switched over from doing video feeds to the churches, and now there is live speakers in the rooms. So that has been a more appealing, it looks like, to people, and they've been coming because they like to hear a live speaker on stage. So we've been doing that.
And it's easier, and it's easier for your team, right?
I mean,
in that respect,
I don't know if it's easier week to week, for sure. Not having to export videos and make sure we got live streams going back and forth.
Right.
Is everything working? Yeah, that is definitely a headache that nobody needs to deal with. So for you, those of you that deal with it, I give you all the credit.
Yeah.
But yeah, Easter's coming. Easter's coming, and it's coming quick. We're starting to figure out what we're doing for that set design. What are the different churches wanting to do for Easter? It's not just one now, so now we got to think of 3 and 4. What are we trying to plan for those? But yeah, it's just we're really actually this weekend we have a daughters conference that we're starting. First women conference that we've had here at Church on the Move. 1,300 women have signed up. So we've got dance parties and bubble machines and hazers to have fun with. So, yeah, Church on the Move. We are constantly moving. That's for sure.
That's why it's called Church on the Move, right?
Yep.
Yep, for sure. Well, that's cool. Well, Jonathan, we could talk for hours, and we will talk more, you know, obviously. I appreciate you being on the podcast. I really do. This is kind of our inaugural thing. Just a little housekeeping for everybody that's watching this. This is something we're going to do. We're going to do a profile of a tech director, production manager once a month here. This is all part of a whole bunch of new podcasts and video podcasts, audio podcasts that are going to be coming out. So, you know, stay tuned for that. All the information about how to get a hold of me. I'll put Jonathan's Instagram or whatever it is he ends up telling me what is okay.
My MySpace account.
Your MySpace account, you know. I forgot about MySpace. This is a total non sequitur about MySpace, but you know why I hated MySpace? Because when you would click on somebody's account, if they had music playing, it would just start playing and blast your, you know, your ears out. Like they had, like MySpace had no like spatial awareness about what was happening when you'd click on somebody's profile. It was just it was the Wild West back then in the internet, you know? I feel like you're too young to even know what MySpace is, but
I am too young.
Yeah.
I've never had a MySpace.
Yeah.
It was Facebook.
MySpace was, you know, it was terrible. Anyway, it was. What is it now? Is it even around? Is it MySpace around?
No, MySpace isn't around.
But I thought, what's his face bought it? The guy from NSYNC. What's the lead singer from NSYNC? My daughter's going to kill me because it's like one of her favorite bands in the world. Anyway, Justin Timberlake. I feel like Justin Timberlake bought it, and then it was for musicians and. It was kind of like SoundCloud, you know what I mean? Like, but I don't know. Anyway, I haven't looked up MySpace in 20 years, so it doesn't matter to me.
I know what I'm doing after this.
I know. Right to MySpace. anyway, so we'll put all that in the show notes, and you don't mind if people hit you up and ask you questions.
Totally.
So we'll put a way to get a hold of Jonathan in the show notes. And so if you guys, honestly, if you're going through Oklahoma, going through Tulsa, or even getting close, take the little jaunt up through up through Oklahoma City and into Tulsa, and go spend a Saturday night or a Sunday morning at Church on the Move. It's a great experience. It's a fantastic church. I've loved all the times I've gotten to go there, hang out, just see what the church is doing. It's an amazing thing. And they're continuing. It's good to know that Andrew's legacy lives on, and it couldn't be in better hands. You know, you're doing a great job, and I know you're going to continue to do that. And so anyway, if you guys want to reach out to Jonathan and say hi, he's on Instagram, apparently MySpace. I have no idea what his handle is on that, but he's going to get one right now. If MySpace is still out there, he's going to get a page. So I'm sure he'll be posting about that anyway. Jonathan is also a great photographer, what he will not tell you about, but he is a fantastic photographer, and he posts a ton of stuff on Instagram. Really cool stuff. You have a love of historic buildings and stuff like that, which I do too. I'm huge on that stuff. And so I love your photographs.
Well, now you're making me blush. Thanks.
Well, no, you are really a good photographer. So, I mean, it's good stuff. And so Instagram is a great place for be able to post that kind of stuff. So anyway, all right, well, everybody, Jonathan, again, thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure we'll be talking again.
Yeah, we will. Thanks for having me, Van.